Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we focus on the cross as our reason to live well as God's people in this world. Let's pray. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Our reading for today is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 25, and I'm reading from the NIV. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Now, as Peter speaks to the church in his letter, we receive it for our faith and witness today. In the first 12 verses, our salvation hope is addressed, And hope, in biblical terms, is a vital aspect of our faith walk, since it is based on Scripture and is defined as our confident expectation, a hope that is ours because of what is contained in verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, those who are God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout the regions that Peter mentions, are his because they have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. It is a Trinitarian statement. God the Father has chosen men and women for salvation based not upon what he knew they would do, but on his decision to set his love upon them. God the Holy Spirit sets them apart, sanctifies them, that they may live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, who, as God the Son, has bought atonement and salvation by his precious blood. In verse 3, we read that God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, informing us that everything hinges on the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, our new birth, and our living hope. And then Peter elaborates on what this living hope means for us and how we are sustained by it. First, believers are promised an indestructible, pure, and eternal inheritance kept in heaven. Next, God's power shields believers through their faith. He will guard their hearts and minds until their final salvation, which is to be revealed at Christ's return. However, while trials cause temporary grief, they refine and prove the genuineness of one's faith, which is more valuable than gold. Moreover, despite not seeing Jesus, our living hope enables us to love and trust him, resulting in inexpressible and glorious joy. Which brings us to the goal of our faith, our living hope. The ultimate result of this journey is the salvation of the soul. Finally, the resurrection of Jesus has resulted in a salvation that caused the ancient prophets and even angels to inquire about and look into it. All of this brings us then to verse 13, which begins with a word, therefore, telling us that what is to follow is based on our glorious salvation hope expressed in the first 12 verses. Therefore, or in view of this hope, Peter says to the church, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And the grace he speaks of, that is to be given us, is the promised resurrection and eternal life. Now the phrase, prepare your minds for action, is a translation of the idiom, gird up the loins of your mind, meaning prepare and position yourself in such a way so as to take a sound stand for your faith. This is coupled with the instruction to also be self-controlled. That is, instead of being controlled by outside circumstances, believers should be directed from within by the Holy Spirit. Both of these disciplines are a means of setting our hope fully on the grace that is to come when Jesus Christ is revealed. And this combination of spiritual disciplines is not accidental, as we find in the rest of Peter's letters the following. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, he says, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we read, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. It seems to be quite an important combination of disciplines, since Paul also said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Coming back to verse 13, the last words in this verse, when Jesus Christ is revealed, point ahead to a hidden day in the future when Jesus Christ will return. But at the same time, this phrase does not so much imply the return of one who has been absent as it does the unveiling or revealing of one who has been with us all the time. Remember, Jesus said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Thus, the hope we have calls us to live each day for the final day of his revelation. Ultimately, what follows in the rest of our text is Peter telling how these great truths of the Christian faith are to be practically lived out by those who follow Christ. In doing so, he constantly takes us back to the basics of the Christian gospel for the reason behind such behavior. The salvation described so magnificently in the earlier section can and should result in men and women living as followers of Jesus, no matter how difficult their circumstances may be. If we are waiting for further reasons to prepare our minds for action and be self-controlled, to be what God called us to be, there is no new revelation, only Scripture directing us to look at the cross. And without fail, no matter what the teaching, we find ourselves at the foot of the cross. Does this mean we don't have to concern ourselves with all kinds of teaching and doctrine? Not at all, since as we learn more, we discover the depths and riches of the salvation of our God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we end, Peter urges the church, which includes us, to do two things: to live like a follower of Jesus, and to love our fellow followers of Jesus. Now, if we are to live like a follower of Jesus, we ought to live in the light of his return, which calls for a life of obedience instead of living like we were before coming to Christ. God, who has called us to himself, said, "Be holy because I am holy," quoting Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. I think we can appreciate that if God said, "Try to behave like something resembling a Christian," we might well feel a little uncertain about who it is we are serving. But God sets the standard, and it is high, to remind us of his perfect nature and character, and our inability to be flawless. Nevertheless, we have Scripture to draw us onwards and upwards to that high standard, and Peter's readers were likewise being called to abandon a life of uncontrolled desires and live a Christ-like existence. This call is directed to God's people for two reasons. It is our example. As his children, we should reflect the family likeness. And our Heavenly Father will judge his children on how they lived up to the family standards. Secondly, it is our goal to do so, not an option, because when Jesus appears, we shall be like him. Being part of the family of God is an enormous privilege, since it was made possible at huge cost, the precious blood of Christ. Next, Peter also urges the church and us to love our fellow followers of Jesus. He says in verse 22, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." The word "deeply" signifies supreme effort. Literally, it implies with every muscle strained. That is quite a challenge. Nevertheless, we have been born again of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God, making our obedience to the command to love one another possible and doable. And where we fail, we repent and try again. In the end, we have Scripture to contend with, words from God that will never pass away, unlike humanity that comes and goes, words that tell of the good news of the gospel, of the cross, and of Christ crucified, the origin of our new life and actions, the place of our first love. So why do we love and serve God? Because he first loved us. All of our activities are rooted in the cross. The cross must be the first reason for why we do anything in his name or at all. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, Jesus speaks to the church in Ephesus and commends them for their many efforts. But in verse 4, he delivers a shocking assessment. He says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." You have forsaken your first love. You have forgotten God's love and the cross. You have forgotten the grace of God in forgiving you. go back and be reminded of Christ's blood shed for you, and function again in the light of God's grace and mercy, so that you will eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. May God help us as we live for Him in the light of the cross. Amen. Let's pray. Mighty God, in whom we know the power of redemption, you stand among us in the shadows of our time, never leaving nor forsaking us. As we move through every sorrow and trial of this life, uphold us, we pray, with knowledge of that final morning when, in the glorious presence of your risen Son, we too will share in his resurrection, redeemed and restored to the fullness of life and forever freed to share in life with you as your adopted children. Amen. And God bless you.